Here with us today to discuss the seemingly in trouble arts sector is Professor in Creative Arts, Julian Merrick from the Flinders University. Welcome on the show, Julian.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, I suppose let's start with the obvious. Why is the arts so fundamental to our social understandings?
Well, I suppose the usual answer is because it reflects our identity as a nation and as a community. And even though that's a very easy answer to give, I think it's probably the right one, particularly in an age of global forces where, you know, everything is encouraging us and in many ways confusing us with kind of larger kind of entities, then culture is something that we can relate to on a daily basis, and it helps us navigate what is an increasingly confusing world. So that's to put it in a glib but sort of nutshelly way.
No, absolutely. I suppose the social implications of cutting our arts journalism, I mean, we touched on it a bit there about exposure for artists being a big issue there. Are there any other likely effects that reduced faculty
Yeah, there really are. So I'm a theatre historian. I've been writing about Australian theatre now for about 25 years. And in that time, I would have read thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of reviews and media articles. And that's quite an interesting journey. So my beat is really from 1945 onwards. And you can see when you read the coverage, you can really see a kind of a country form its mind, really, its cultural mind. It's an amazing story, and it takes place quite slowly, and arts coverage is absolutely central to it, not only in reflecting it, but really in enabling it. And the idea that conversation or that story would be cut short, I think, is devastating.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, theatre has been definitely a political force in Australia. It was stolen from one of the seminal Australian texts, I think many people would argue, as well as many of Lurie Nara's works. As well, Radiance is another play that springs to mind that really has, you know, borne some new ground for political action to take place and for the lives of people to be materially improved as well. I suppose with this, if this interdependency between artists and journalists starts to fail, where do we go from there then? What are the kind of alternatives?
Well, there aren't really too many alternatives. I think what the glib answer again is that, there's the internet is big and people will take up the slack and that they have access to social media. But, that kind of glib answer doesn't ring true given what's now being said about social media and that the internet is broken. I mean, the truth is that the internet is a giant echo box for the kinds of opinions that we put into it. And if we lose the golden thread of authoritative arts opinion, then all we're doing is kind of, well, blowing smoke up our own fundaments, really. We're giving ourselves over to any kind of egregious confusion that might occupy that space.
Yes, you're listening to SCR 107.3. My guest is Professor Julian Merrick from Flinders University in South Australia. We're talking about the potential cuts to the Fairfax Media's arts section. Now, if Fairfax does follow suit with the intended cuts, do you think it's possible other major media companies will follow suit?
Yeah, I think it's true. I think it's likely. I know that The Australian had a series of cuts, and I dare say more will follow. It's hard. I don't want to pose as a sort of an expert in business models. That's not what I'm sort of suggesting here. I know that decisions have to be made about, you know, who's in and who's out. But business model decisions are not the only kinds of decisions that are involved here. There are also social decisions with wider implications to do with this country, this country's culture, and this country's cultural imagination. That's what's at stake here. There's a wider issue in the smaller question.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I suppose, what can art lovers do to help? Are there avenues they can do to try and push back against these changes?
Well, I think now is a moment for serious reflection and thought. There's, of course, there are always avenues for action and, you know, expressing yourself on, what I was slagging off a moment ago as kind of flawed social media is still an important avenue in expressing yourself to Fairfax. I mean, I wrote my article with relative ease, and I'm sure other people have opinions because arts coverage is something that we daily interact with. It's not the kind of domain of just a few people. It's something that kind of affects us all. But I also think it's a moment for really thinking about what we want from our media environment and how it is that our culture works. I never feel that that is particularly well understood within the Australian landscape by politicians or really by anyone else. And as a result, we lurch from crisis to crisis without really thinking perhaps about how those relationships work. And so now here is one that is exposed, and I think it's time to have a little think about that.
And do you think the legislative chambers might have to pick up some of the slack, do you think?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think authoritative opinion is not elitist opinion. It's something to be valued, something to be treasured, and something to be supported. And our critical environment, by which I mean the arts coverage environment, has been the fruit of many years, if not many decades, work by all sorts of individuals and newspapers, and we ought not to let it go.
Indeed, we're all in the gutter, yet some of us choose to look up at the stars, as one great writer once famously quipped. Thank you for joining us, Julian.
My pleasure.